You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Romillo, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. The Heat are kicking off their preseason on Monday night, and I'll be there, back in the America Airlines Arena, for the first time since March 10th, the day the Miami Heat lost to the Charlotte Hornets and Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19. A lot has happened since then, obviously, and Miami will begin their quest to return to the finals against the New Orleans Pelicans, and I'll break down some of what you should be looking for in that first preseason game later in the show. But it wouldn't be right to simply gloss over the debate raging around Heat Twitter, one that I undoubtedly played a part in. James Harden, Tyler Hero, and what happens next with Miami. The discourse has been wild. Nobody seems happy one way or the other. It's been really interesting to see how divisive this is, because I would have thought that on a normal basis, the acquisition of talent seems pretty likely. Like, everybody has kind of glossed over the fact that we're putting all our chips in for the potential of Giannis Antetokounmpo, one that might actually wind up having to be a sign and trade in order for it to work out that way. And if that's the case, do you feel more comfortable giving up Tyler Hero for Giannis? Because it seems like a lot of people are taking a stand on acquiring Harden, trading Hero, somewhere in between. Like, I'm not sure if it's because a lot of people dislike Harden and his game. I'm not sure if it's because a lot of people like Hero and what's going on. There doesn't seem to be any kind of clear favorite stance. And it's been kind of confusing to see, to be honest with you. I really don't get it. I'll be honest with you. I also think that if it was a matter of personal opinion, and if you recall my show last week, I said the Heat should trade for James Harden. Why? Because their goal is to win. Their goal is to win now during the next 3 years of Jimmy Butler's contract. I also think Miami can win without James Harden. I think that they're on a course to potentially repeat as NBA finalists this year. And while they may have improved in some aspects, and while they may have been able to beat the Lakers last October in the finals, if they had stayed healthy, the Lakers have improved. And I'm not sure that Miami's improvements during the offseason, barring any major leap from Hero or somebody else on this roster, are enough to catapult you past the Lakers. What does is adding James Harden. If you want to win a finals, if you want to win a championship, and that's Miami's stated goal, you have to make some changes. You have to make some restructuring of the roster. That's just the reality. Personally, I mean, my opinion, I know it doesn't count. It shouldn't. I'm supposed to be a biased media member. But the reality is that we also have opinions about these things. I like the team that we saw last year. Hell, I'll go a step further and say I love the team that we saw last year. They were fun to watch. They got along. They were badasses. They did everything they were supposed to. They played defense. They didn't take shit from anybody. They came up big in clutch situations. That team was fun as hell. I don't know that a team around Harden would be as fun. I don't know, because we don't have Harden on this roster. We have not seen what would happen with Eric Spoelstra's coaching. Arguably the best coach that he'd ever have had. I mean, Scott Brooks was a fine coach in Oklahoma City, but I don't think he's at Spo's level. Mike D'Antoni is certainly innovative. Again, I don't think he's the same kind of level as Eric Spoelstra. So I think if you combine Heat culture, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, the strength and stability of this front office and organization throughout its entirety, and you put James Harden and his talent there, I think you would see a better, improved version of Harden on this roster. But it's hard to say whether or not we should trade for him. Again, from my personal perspective, I'd say I'd like to see what happens next year. And I can live with the results of not winning a championship. For me, I am one of those people that really enjoyed watching the 2016-17 season. 41-41 was fine for me. The first 41 games were miserable. My former co-host and I, Wes Goldberg, struggled on a daily basis to talk about that team. It was not fun. But then the next 41 games were wonderful. And I loved seeing Goran Dragic play very well. I loved seeing Rooks 1 and 2 have their moments on occasion. I loved seeing Deion step up in big moments. I liked versions of the team that followed over the last couple of seasons. And I certainly like last year's team. So I can understand why people are eager to see what happens next. But from a pure talent perspective, and if your end game is to win games, then you acquired James Harden. That's all there is to it. Like, this isn't rocket science here. You get a better, more talented team when you have a player of James Harden's caliber. And your own feelings and subjectivity be damned. Objectively, this team is better with James Harden on it. That's it. Like, what happened in the finals last year, you don't have to worry about the loss of Bam and Goran Dragic because you still have a player like Harden who can put up as many points as possible. And so long as you can get similar performances from Jimmy and the rest of the supporting cast, which I understand will be broken up in an acquisition of James Harden, I still think you have a pretty good shot of knocking out the Lakers. We'll never know. It's a theoretical, you know, stance that is impossible to prove. But talent almost always wins out in this league. And that's just the truth. Like, you want balance, you want chemistry, but you also have to trust that Eric Spoelstra and this front office will figure out a way of building a good roster around Harden and maximizing whoever's left. As we were talked about in last week's episode, Jackson Gatlin, the host of Locked On Rockets, doesn't think that the Rockets would want Duncan Robinson in a trade. So theoretically, you could be looking at a starting lineup of, it doesn't really matter, James Harden, Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson, potentially Precious Achiuwa and Bam, or Bam and Myers. That's a pretty good starting lineup there. A lot of three-point shooting, a lot of aggressiveness in Harden, Butler, and Bam. Solid size, solid rebounding, great passing ability. I think it would be pretty fun. Basically, you're substituting one starter, Tyler, or potential starter in Tyler, with another in James Harden. We'll see what happens. We haven't heard anything. He also talked about the possibility that the Rockets would want to retain this group for as long as possible and probably move forward with the start of the regular season with Harden still on the roster, and he doesn't think that anything is likely to change anytime soon. It kind of reminds me a couple years ago when Miami first dipped their toes in the Jimmy Butler waters when they were trying to potentially trade Josh Richardson for him back in 2000. What was it? It's 18 now? It seems like an eternity ago. So much has happened since then. You never want to wait too long. You never want that shadow or cloud hanging over a team that seems to enjoy themselves and is focused on winning. Like, that's the thing that you should probably take away more than anything else. They want to get to the finals again. They want to win. And if that's the case, well, we'll see what happens with Harden. I don't think that there's danger in breaking up this chemistry. This is another part of that major argument that's been floating around here. I don't think it's as bad as everybody thinks. I think that you'd see these players get along very well, and somehow they'll be able to figure it out. You know, players are professionals. We had this chemistry at the start of last year, and you still wound up trading Justice Winslow, a player that everybody loved, Deion Waiters and James Johnson, who were beloved in that locker room. Nobody had a bad thing to say about them. No complaints about them from players. If anything, maybe from coaches in the front office that felt like they had disappointed as players. But as the fellow players in that locker room, nobody grumbled about James, about Deion, about Justice. That wasn't a concern. So chemistry is volatile to some degree, but it can also be resolved pretty easily. I think you have enough core leadership here with UD and Jimmy and Goran that so long as they're on the roster, if you bring in Harden, you'll figure it away. You figure out a way of getting everything to work out pretty well. And I don't think you have to have those kind of concerns. Like, you have to trust that things are going to happen. I mean, look at past teams. You know, in 2005, that team made the Eastern Conference Finals. Pat Riley blew it up. You trade for a guy like Antoine Walker and Jason Williams, who was already on his third team. Like, you take risks, and they pay off sometimes. Because what did you have on that roster? You had Alonzo Mourning. You had Shaquille O'Neal, and you had Dwayne Wade. That's talent. That trumps everything else. Hero's really good, and I expect that he'll be better this year. I expect that he'll be better throughout the course of his career. He'll continue to improve. But Harden right now is probably way better than Hero will ever be. And that's just the reality. Hero is a very fine player, and you hate to put a ceiling on a guy like that, but the reality is that he might just be a occasional all-star, which is very difficult to achieve. That still makes him a great player. Is he historically good like James Harden? Probably not. It's a risk. You take it. You see what happens. Again, personally, I might not want to cover that version of that team. There's different personalities there. There is that risk of blowing up that chemistry, of adding talent and then sacrificing depth. Those are legitimate concerns, but you have to be able to figure it out and you have to understand what your goal is. Is it to keep a good team that enjoys playing with one another and could make a run for the finals? Or is it acquiring a team that's potentially more volatile but absolutely will make a run to the finals? If that's your goal, then you know what to do. Coming up next, a preview of Miami's preseason opener against the New Orleans Pelicans here on the number one Miami Heat podcast for the latest news, rumors, and analysis. You know what isn't a risk, though? Built Bar, because it's the best-tasting protein bar you've ever had. Trust me, if you haven't tried it by now and you're doing yourself a huge disservice, it is absolutely delicious. They have 18 amazing flavors. All of them are really good. I've tried almost all of them, and almost everybody I know has tried some of the others, so I'm pretty well covered here. But all of them are 100% covered in chocolate. They're all soft and easy to chew. You don't even know you're tasting a protein bar. That's the best thing about them. It's like a dessert in some ways. And they're healthy for you, which is even better. Most of the time, you feel some guilt. You're like, oh, man, I can't believe I ate that whole bag of chips. You know, a friend of mine loves Chips Ahoy cookies. I've never seen anybody devour a whole sleeve of cookies the way he has. But I got him turned on to the Built Bar, and now he just substitutes one snack with another, and he does himself a huge favor in the process because he loves the taste, and they're also good for people who are trying to maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're great for all sorts of diets because they have so many great nutrients, so many delicious flavors. You're bound to find one that you love. And right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. So use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. I'll be recapping Miami's preseason games as well as continuing to address key questions about the season that's just 10 days away. And of course, beginning my preview of that season in a couple of weeks. So make sure you're up to speed by subscribing to Locked On Heat on your favorite app to listen to podcasts and always get the newest episode. Monday, 7 o'clock, Fox Sports, the Heat will host the New Orleans Pelicans. Interesting matchup. I'm a bigger fan of the Pelicans than most, although so much of this season, and I got to be honest with you, when looking at this and listening to a bunch of other podcasts or reading stories about season previews and what kind of version of a team we can expect, I have to say, and I know that, you know, I'm going to be offering my opinion and my quote-unquote expert analysis because that's just what I have to do, but there are questions. There are bigger ones about COVID, about travel, about the possibility of playing two games in a series against one team at home. You know, Miami's going to do it a number of times during the first quote-unquote half of the season. It's going to be interesting. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that, like hosting Milwaukee for two games in a row here in Miami. You know, what happens during those 4 days when the team is in town? You know, does Giannis get recruited by Miami? Do they go out to South Beach to celebrate? I mean, what version of this team will we even have at that point in time? So many different things to consider. But when I look at the Pelicans team, and yes, they traded away arguably their most consistent best player. Brandon Ingram had his breakout year. I'm expecting him to maintain that level of production. But Jrue Holiday, very solid player, obviously, shipped to Milwaukee this past offseason. They've got some questions there. New coach, Stan Van Gundy. Kind of high on what he can do with this roster, although I'm not sure it's the best fit long-term. That's from what I've heard from Pelicans folks is that, you know, Van Gundy will get the most of this roster in the short term. He may not bring them to finals contention, but they may not necessarily have the players on this roster at this point anyway. As far as the Heat are concerned, though, What do we look for here? My biggest question, does Jimmy Butler play? Like, we've seen over the course of the first couple of days of preseason basketball that most starters, most key starters, even star-level players have gotten some playing time. Nobody that went through the grind that Jimmy did played more basketball than anybody. He pushed himself to a limit that nobody had to. Nobody in the Lakers had to go through what Jimmy did. So will he play? I'm expecting that he will. Spo hasn't said anything. Been somewhat quiet. I'm recording this as of Sunday evening. There was no practice today. There'll be shoot around tomorrow. We'll see how that works out. He won't offer any kind of information regarding his starting lineup. He's already talked about that this won't be like the bubble during those first early seeding games. If you recall the scrimmage games where other coaches were kind of talking to one another to get a sense of what they were going to do with their lineups and how far they wanted to push their own teams and, you know, whatever teams they were playing at that point in time. This isn't that. This is a regular preseason game. It's part of the season. They're taking it seriously, even though there's only two preseason games and there's not much time before the actual regular season starts. There's been a very short training camp. No summer league, no G League. There's an opportunity here to get as many players, many minutes as possible. And when it comes to Jimmy, yes, you want to give him rest. You're going to figure it out over the course of the regular season. He doesn't have to figure it out on Monday. I expect Jimmy to play and to be part of the starting lineup. And that's the other big question I have then. So once Jimmy plays, he'll probably play tomorrow and take Friday off against the Raptors when they travel to Tampa and take on the Tampa Bay Raptors. As far as the starting lineup is concerned, will we see signs from Eric Spoelstra of the kind of starters that he's looking to move forward with the regular season? Assuming that everybody is available, which at this point in time, everybody is. There haven't been any issues regarding health. Unless something happened on an off day, which seems unlikely, I think that they're going to have a full contingent, a full roster on Monday night. And so we're going to see some signs from Eric Spoelstra of where he's leaning. My feeling is still that he's going to keep that same starting lineup from last year as far as having Myers play alongside Bam. You don't sign him to the kind of money. You don't try to preserve, you know, you have to preserve Bam as much as possible. You can't have him going up against fives, although he does. But you also, I don't know that you trust Mo Harkless. That's the big question too, right? If we assume that at least Jimmy and Duncan are going to start and Bam, excuse me. So we have three starters etched in place. The other two, as I've said before, Tyler Hero and likely Myers Leonard. I don't feel secure in Mo Harkless starting at the four the way that we counted on Jay Crowder to do in the bubble. That was an unusual circumstance. I've seen a lot of people, Bleacher Report and others, even locally, saying Mo is likely to start. I don't see it. And nothing is secure there. Even if he does wind up starting, it'll be for Spo's edification to get a sense of whether or not he can handle that responsibility. Mind you, the starting lineup against the New Orleans Pelicans or for the Pelicans, Steven Adams at center. You're going to want a big. Myers is going to start. It has to happen. I just can't see any other way. So you get Myers out there starting. Bam to guard Zion Williamson at the four. That's a fun matchup. Brandon Ingram at the three versus Jimmy Butler / Duncan Robinson, whoever has to guard him most. At the two, the guard spot is a little bit more flexible. Lonzo Ball, who's somewhat big at 6'5". He'll probably be guarded by Duncan, I would assume. And then you've got Eric Bledsoe likely etched in as the starter for the Pelicans. And then that will be Tyler's responsibility. So, you know, there's some matchup there. I mean, we saw Bledsoe in the playoffs in the Milwaukee Bucks series. So that should be interesting to see whether or not he matches up well with Hero. I don't think Goran starts, but he is part of the rotation. And I think we'll get a sense of the clear rotation also. Early on, everybody's good to go. Avery Bradley's going to play. Mo Harkless is going to play. I don't think he starts, but I think he gets some minutes. Goran's going to play. He's available. He's had a really good practice. He had a really good, short training camp. I think he'll get some minutes. Will a player sit out? Yeah, sure. I mean, Andre Iguodala at 36 doesn't need to play. We know what we're getting from him. I don't think he's going to be out there considering he had the long offseason or the short offseason, the long regular season. I don't think he's going to be thrust out there against the New Orleans Pelicans. We're going to see a lot of the players at the end of the bench get some significant minutes. Now, I talked to Jake Madison, the host of Locked On Pelicans. He told me Van Gundy plans on playing starters about 30 minutes. I can't believe that. I don't think Spo's going to do that. I think that would be somewhat irresponsible of him to play anybody 30 minutes. From what I've seen around the league, it's been on average 19, 20, 22 minutes. Some teams went a little high, 24 minutes. I don't think you can ramp it up that severely and play 30 minutes a game right away. Like, that's just ludicrous to me. I mean, I know Van Gundy is somewhat of a old school coach. I don't think you want to risk a player's health this early in the process, but we'll see how it works out. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be wonderful. It's basketball. It's back. Will we see some unexpected flashes from a potential rotation player? Well, I'll continue talking about that in the next segment, and I'll tell you what to look for in Monday's preseason opener here on Locked On Heat. Reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. So much input from everybody. I loved it. So many people have written in, sent emails, DMs. Please keep it up. I want to hear from you all. I've made that call. I've made that appeal before. Please continue to send in some really constructive criticism. I've also gotten some positive feedback. I love it. Thank you so much to everybody who sent something positive in. And thank you to everybody who sent anything in. If I haven't responded directly by now, I will try to do so as well as possible over the next couple of days. Unfortunately, the weekend kind of cut up to me a little bit, but continue to do so because I do appreciate it. The preseason game, you know, I'll never forget being at that preseason game last year against the Houston Rockets and seeing Kendrick Nunn explode for 40 points and Deion's minutes get yoked around, and that was the beginning of the end. And that is something that I'm curious to see from Miami's perspective is, will we see some kind of breakout like that? Because I think that's always a potential, right? You know, Duncan Robinson wasn't supposed to play significant minutes last year, and then he wound up having a historically good NBA season as a shooter. Kendrick Nunn certainly wasn't supposed to get any playing time over Deion Waiters or James Johnson. That worked out pretty well for him. What will we see in Monday's game against the Pelicans? Is there that kind of potential? I personally don't think so. I don't think we're going to see somebody have the kind of breakout where you can etch your way closer towards a starting nod. Will we see somebody prove themselves worthy of a better look, more minutes? That's possible. Now, there are four candidates here. Everybody else you kind of know. I mean, unless Chris Silva has developed a three-point shot, I don't expect a major leap from him. We're going to see guys like Bradley and Harkless get some minutes. We know what we're getting from Myers. Precious remains the big question because, well, he's a first-round pick, but you want to kind of – he's going to get playing time regardless. He's going to be on this roster. You know, you invest a top pick in a guy like that, he's going to stick around for a while. It's the guys towards the end there that have to prove something, that are trying to fight for their NBA career, and they're going to have the occasional moment where they might say, you know, I have to do something here. I've got to prove to Eric Spoelstra and the front office or somebody who might be watching me that I belong. There are guys here on this team, Max Strus and B.J. Johnson, that have been on other NBA rosters before, and they're looking at this as an opportunity to showcase what talents they do have. In Strus's case, he's a legitimate shooter, a little bit bigger. There's questions about his athleticism. I think he can play at the NBA level. He's the guy that I'm looking for to have a bigger impact here because he is, you know, again, experienced at this level. He knows what it takes. He's played in the G League. He's played at the NBA level. He knows that when he gets these minutes, he's got to cash in. Similarly with Johnson. Spent some time with the Magic last year. Spent some time with the Sixers before that. He's been on NBA rosters. He knows the game. He knows what it takes. He was brought in somewhat late, so maybe he's still kind of working his way around and trying to figure it out. But he's going to try and show out one way or the other. But those are new guys. Guys that have been added to the roster and probably – I hate using this terminology, but you've all heard it before. They are bodies. it sucks because, you know, they're human beings and they're trying to reach their NBA dreams here, and it probably isn't going to happen in Miami. You don't join an NBA finalist. As much as, you know, the flip side of that is you look at Duncan, you look at Kendrick, you look at the Heat's history. Yeah, they'll give an opportunity to guys. Maybe they'll find something there where they can invest legitimate coaching on you and give you the kind of advice, the guidance that you need to reach the best version of yourself possible. Hopefully that happens, but it's such a weird compressed schedule. You've already got so much talent on this team. You already have such a clear goal of what you're trying to do. You can't spend as much time with a guy like Strus or Johnson or even Paul Abua and see if, you know, maybe they have what it takes or maybe they're worth the investment of keeping on an NBA roster. You know, you have a bigger roster this year and it still might not be enough. You can't make accommodations for everybody. Gabe Vincent, to me, is a guy who is likely to have his biggest showing. He went through the bubble, has practiced, knows the Heat terminology. It's a seamless process for him. If you're talking about the team's continuity, and I've asked about that from Spoelstra, other players and other reporters have talked about that before, it seems like that's going to be a big thing for this team. And continuity is so important. You don't have to coach. I remember, and I had to cover the Magic, and talking to Steve Clifford and picking his brain on a media day after his first season coaching and getting a sense of what was important for him. And he's like, well, you know what? We don't have to teach guys anything anymore. They know what I'm talking about when I ask for a particular defensive rotation or set. Those little things like language, the process, you know, what to expect out of your first practice. Guys that were on this roster last year and then are on this roster this year, they know what to expect, and that's a huge benefit for them. So a guy like Vincent, who has been here, who went through the bubble, who has had a long, you know, first season with the Heat, he's a little bit, I think, in a better place than some of these other guys like Johnson and Strus to be able to have a big game. And, you know, considering his shooting ability, I would expect him to have a nice showing on Monday. Further proof that he belongs in his team. I think he's guaranteed to be on the roster. Things could happen. You can always waive him or buy him out or something along those lines. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm also looking forward to getting a vibe for what this season, this team is going to be like. Because I'll be at the arena. There's going to be, you know, half dozen reporters there. I don't know what to expect. The process has been pretty clearly laid out. We're kind of moving as a cattle call sort of thing. We're in line. We pick up our credentials. We move. Kind of reminds me, if you listen to the show for a while, you know I'm a big fan of the show Seinfeld. You ever remember that Soup Nazi episode where you have to kind of follow the protocols almost exactly? Well, I get the feeling it's going to be something like that. We're going to wait in line, and we pick up our credentials. We take the elevator. We find our spots. We don't talk to anybody. We don't interact with anybody. We'll be on Zoom calls. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a huge arena filled with silence and pumped up crowd noise. I wonder whether or not we're going to hear that at the arena. It's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see how players respond. Bam was asked about that on Friday's media session, and he talked about having some questions about, or maybe it was Saturday's. He talked about it's going to be an adjustment, but he also felt comfortable and confident that they'd be willing to or able to make the adjustment pretty quickly. So, from my perspective, I'll be there to get a sense for the team, get a sense for what this game and season will be like, to bring you up close action and see what that's like, and then, you know, talk about it afterwards. So I'll be recording shows after every game, just like I always do. Ultimately, though, can we take anything from this first preseason game? I don't know. It's going to be somewhat sloppy. Miami is probably going to be in a better place than most teams because, of course, they played up until October. But there's still an adjustment period. That's just a reality. It won't be quite preseason vibes, but pretty close. With no summer league, rookies aren't going to be showing out. I wouldn't expect a big game from Precious. Although that athleticism tends to translate to any level. He's still going to have some, you know, boneheaded plays there because he's a rookie. He's trying to figure it out. He's going to get burned on defense, or he's going to botch a handoff, or he's going to do something. It happens. No rookie comes in there and plays flawlessly at first. Especially not under these circumstances. Think about it from his perspective. Yeah, he's athletic as hell. He's been working out for the past 9 months. He hasn't played a game since March. You know, yeah, he's been getting some burn during training camp. He's been playing alongside Tyler Herro. He's been getting coached up by UD and Bam, etc. That's wonderful. Will that translate into incredible performances in his first preseason game ever? No, of course not. So from the Heat in general, I wouldn't expect to see any kind of marked improvement or version of themselves that we can say, oh, this is the team we're going to see down the road. We'll see signs of that. We certainly did last year, but that was a very different, very normal preseason schedule. Justice was there. He was handling the point guard duties. He was dishing the ball very well. Never forget his 12 assists against the Orlando Magic in the preseason. That was a slight indicator of the kind of pass-happy offense that was implemented throughout the rest of the regular season. So I would imagine they'll probably keep that same offense. You know, I asked Spo about it, and he talked about having to evolve, but you also want to stick to what you do best. That's score in bunches. That's shoot the ball well. That's play defense on occasion. We'll see if they can keep it up, if they've got the personnel now, if they bring in Avery Bradley to help with any kind of defensive issues from a point of attack, if Myers can step up a little bit defensively in his drop coverage. We'll see. Lots to look out for, and of course, this is your place to get all the latest updates on what happens in that game and your analysis and everything else. We're days away from the start of the NBA regular season. And just to make sure, this week, the Locked On NBA podcast is previewing every team division by division. Get intel on each team. Let me tell you, I've talked about this a lot. I love being part of this network where you have so many different hosts that know all these teams so well. It's great to get perspectives from local reporters on the Hawks or the Wizards or the Hornets or anything like that. But nobody knows the team better than the people that cover them. And so to be part of this network and to have that kind of information available, you guys, you're all very, very lucky to be able to listen to these shows and to get that kind of information. So make sure you get all the information you need. Intel on each team, again, waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch out for from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Projecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get podcasts. And remember to get your team every day just by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat as soon as you get in your car. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you, as always, for your support.